not be more pleased, more happy, more proud to have a couple of family members in here actually this morning. My brother-in-law, Pete Vandepoppy, and my sister, Gretchen. We're going to talk to Pete first, and then my sister, Gretchen, who's been going on honor flights now as a flight photographer. So, first of all, Pete, welcome. You're going to need to get just a little closer. So, tell me how it was in Alton that you knew you were going into Vietnam.
Well, it kind of took me by surprise, but in a way, I figured sometime along the line I'd get drafted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time came,
yep,
you went.
Yep.
Yep.
And so you got a notice in the mail.
Yep, got a notice in the mail.
Did you know what your draft number was?
Not at that time, no.
Oh, you didn't?
Until you got over to Sioux Falls where you checked in over there.
Okay. So you had no idea what your number was, because aren't some of the stories where they had a high number so they thought their odds would be low that they would get drafted?
Yes.
Now but that, you didn't know what your number was.
You know what? Now that I think about it and we talk about it, we probably did know our number now that you say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you were drafted. Now, what year was that?
That was 67, December of 67.
Okay. And then, so you then off to Sioux Falls.
Off to Sioux Falls, yep.
Okay. And then what happened in Sioux Falls?
In Sioux Falls, you checked in over there at the reserve place, and they got you ready to, I think we took a physical there. We had to have a physical. And then from there, you got orders where you were going to go.
Okay.
And I ended up going to Fort Lewis, Washington.
Okay.
For my training.
Okay. So from Sioux Falls to Fort Lewis, Washington. So now, if it was anything like Dad, I can't imagine you growing up in metropolitan Alton had seen a whole lot of the world other than, I don't know, Sioux County, Sioux City.
That was probably it. This was an opening. This was quite an eye-opener.
Quite an eye-opener.
It was, yes.
So how did you go then from Sioux Falls to Fort Lewis, Washington?
Flew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once you land in Fort Lewis, Washington, then what?
Then we ended up going to Fort Lewis, Washington.
Okay.
And that's where my training was. My basic and my AIT was at the same fort.
Okay. And how long did that take?
Oh, let's see. I think basic is 6 weeks, and AIT is also 6 weeks.
So 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
1967. And then what?
Then we graduated on a weekend. It was on a Friday. And everybody got the orders, but there was about 10 or 12 of us guys that didn't have orders. So we had to wait.
Okay.
And we got our orders the following Monday.
Okay.
And we got orders to go to Korea.
Okay. So then when did you leave for Korea?
Yeah, the date, I don't remember what the date was.
Soon after?
Yeah, it was right after.
Okay.
Right after basic training.
Okay.
And AIT.
Flying?
Flew, yep.
Okay. And so did they tell you how long you would be deployed to Korea?
Well, it was a 2-year term in the Army, so, and that's where I spent all my time.
So once you hit the ground in Korea, then what?
Then we got sent to a company that was already at the DMZ. And that I spent about a year there at the DMZ.
Okay. And your role there was to patrol the DMZ between the North and the South Vietnamese.
Yep, that's correct. Yep.
And so how much hostility during that time was there at the DMZ?
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, but at that time, there was a ship captured. A Pueblo, it was called.
Okay.
That was big news at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're in training, we're on standby.
Okay.
So, but that time we got over there, it kind of had settled down then already.
Okay. Okay, so tell me about the ship. Well, how did that play a part for you?
Well, I suppose everybody's on standby, and I suppose if you got called,
okay,
you had to go where they sent you.
Okay, so now I don't even know if you know this, but I remember, and this might be the news, I remember standing in the kitchen one night, Gretchen, myself, Mom and Dad, because we have no news. Something has gone haywire. We haven't heard anything about you. Don't have any idea if you're okay. Do you remember why that was?
No, I don't. I don't.
You?
Because that was because of the Pueblo news. And then I think Mom called Mrs. Mulder, who was with the Red Cross then at that time, to find out where Pete's location was, if he was all right.
Okay. So that.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, I remember.
See, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, well, I certainly.
But I suppose when we got over there, you know, you didn't get your address and all that all in place right away either, you know.
Right. So you spent a better part of a year guarding the DMZ. And then what was the other year?
Then after that, we got sent back. And then there were a bunch of bunkers built, cement bunkers built. And our job was, we had to camouflage them.
Mm-hmm.
Plant trees, lay sod down, and yeah, just.
So this again was a place for the South to, if they needed these bunkers, they could use these
yep.
bunkers.
Yep.
So you're kind of working hand in hand with the South.
Right. Yep.
Well, thankfully, as I say, thankfully, you came back safely. So
yep.
After 2 years then, how did you know? Did you know for sure at the end of 2 years you were going to be dismissed, discharged?
Yes, we knew that.
Okay.
We knew that, yep.
Okay, I want to go back just a little bit. Why did like 8-10 of you not know where you were going? The other guys all had their assignments, but 8-10 of you didn't. Why?
I think because it must have been because I couldn't go to Vietnam, because everybody else that had orders went to Vietnam.
Okay.
I didn't go to Vietnam because my brother was there.
And so as a family, they couldn't have two people in Vietnam.
That's correct, yep.
So anyway, then the discharge happens. So from Korea, then where?
Flew back to Fort Lewis, Washington. Got on a plane. This all happened the same. We flew in early in the morning. I remember that. Got on a plane. I ended up in Denver because I was sitting in the airport waiting for my flight to come to Sioux Falls. In the meantime, when I was in the airport, I was watching them land on the moon.
Oh, my world.
Yeah.
Wow, first moon landing.
Yep, July 20th, watched them on the moon.
That's incredible.
At the airport.
That is so cool. Okay, so you ended up in Denver, then what?
Then, yeah, waited for the flight, and then ended up in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there, and my sister was there, and...
And then when did the Chevelle come into play?
Yeah, that was the first new car I ever bought. And, you know, that was a 1969 Chevy Chevelle Malibu, two-door hardtop, $2,675, brand new.
And where was that bought?
Verhoef Motors.
And so did you buy that on the immediately after you were back?
I think shortly after I was out.
Because I remember, as far as I can remember, I remember you showing up with the Chevelle in the driveway, and Pete was home.
Yeah, I was home.
That was pretty cool. Okay, now before I let you go, a couple things I want to touch on yet here and get to Gretchen. The painting. The painting where you are sitting under the tree, you have a little tear dripping from your eye. Gretchen is like up in the sky. Where did, as one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Where did you get that done?
Well, there's people from out of the villages that come into camp, and they do stuff like that mm-hmm. to earn money,
yeah,
to make money.
You know? Yeah.
So, and you just gotta. I gave them a little snapshot of Gretch.
Yeah.
And they have all different pictures of how you want it done. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just picked that one.
That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right. And then I want your thoughts on your honor flight experience before I get to Gretch. So you went out of Sioux Falls on an honor flight.
Yep. I went on two flights.
Because one you went as a helper.
That I went as a guardian. That was my second flight.
Yep.
My very first one was the first honor flight.
Right.
They had a few people that canceled out, and they had an empty seat or two, and then they asked me if I want to go along.
Mm-hmm.
They knew Gretch was going, you know, and I said, yeah, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But then you went as a veteran.
But that time,
the first time.
I went as a veteran.
Right.
Yes.
And so what were your thoughts on the day?
Yeah, you know, that was awesome. That was really awesome. And the homecomings.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just unreal.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was unbelievable. I was so glad we were there. Place was packed. Sioux Falls Airport was packed. And people just started chanting, USA, USA, yeah. USA. It was one of the coolest things we've ever been a part of. We were so happy to be there. And, it was absolutely awesome. The other thing that happened is before you went, people were supposed to write letters to you. Well, what was that like? And I understand that you waited until you got home to open those letters.
Well, I opened everybody got a big envelope on the plane
mm-hmm.
with your letters in it. You know, and I opened it up and I looked at it and thought, wow.
Yeah.
And I just pulled a couple out, you know, curious.
Yeah.
And just started reading a few of them and I just put them back because it was going to get emotional.
Yeah. And so...
So I waited till I got home.
Yeah. So you'd sit in your own easy chair and go through. All right. Very good. Well, we're so thankful for your service and thrilled that you're home. We're going to take a break and then we'll talk to my sister Gretchen about what it's like to be an honor flight photographer. 23 past 10, 30 degrees here at the KILR studios in Estherville. So now my sister Gretchen. So how long had you been dating Pete when he went off?
In high school already.
Yeah, I know. So how long?
2 years.
Yeah. So what was it like then when he got that draft notice? That couldn't have been emotionally all that good.
Yeah. Of course, then there was so much people leaving for the service that was kind of part of our expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew people were going.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me what it's been like for you to be an honor flight photographer. So they stick you on. I did not know that Pete was not scheduled to be on that one originally, that you were the one that mm-hmm. was going to go originally to be the flight photographer. So it ended up being super cool that you could go together. So you go on. Evidently, they like your work because now they keep asking you back. So what is it like to be the flight photographer? And what was it like that first flight to share that with Pete?
I always had dreamt about being a little mouse. I would say to the people at work, I would love to be a little mouse on a plane and capture those faces. So when I got a call from Aaron and asked if I would be part of Midwest Honor Flight, I didn't even have to think what my answer would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing to be part of such an organization where we have a passion for serving our veterans and to see the facial expressions and the bond you get with those people in a day is pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It was so cool when the gal set up the fact that when you guys had landed, that what the procedures were going to be, that you guys had touched down in Sioux Falls, you would soon be out, and she shared that on that particular flight, there was a veteran that was on that flight, and I don't know if they thanked him for his service or whatever, and he had said, well, no one's ever thanked me for my service, and her response was, well, we're going to take care of that today. And I thought of how horrible that feeling must have been to never have been thanked for your service. But then, like I said, when everybody came off, started coming off, and that lobby was so full of people, and the chant, USA, mm-hmm. is so cool.
It is. And now the amazing part is, so I have been on 6 missions, and each mission is amazing in its own right. So when we enter the DC airport and walk through that terminal, that jetway, I'm usually one of the first ones off and see what they're going to see, and it is a wow.
Yeah.
And I visited with Greg Locker from the American Airlines, and he says, I watch those veterans walk up that jetway with their heads hanging down, and I'm sure they are wondering what this day is going to bring. And when they come around that corner and see the terminal full of people,
all strangers,
people clapping, cheering, there's a band, there's music, people shaking their hands, and that's where it begins. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
They're just in awe of that beginning of our day. And now when we get home, that's what we hear the most of. They can't believe how strangers, kids, anybody comes to the airport and welcomes them home and thanks them for their service. That is such a big part of healing, beginning of that.
And it's a thank you that's been so delayed.
Correct.
Especially for those that were in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because that was so controversial. Some of the guys ditched their uniforms in the trash before they went home.
Exactly. And that, we just completed Mission 6 in October, and that flight was 120 Vietnam veterans. And that's the stories we heard a lot about. We went to the bathroom, got rid of our uniform. They put it in the trash or hid it, but they got on their street clothes right away.
So as you have gone on these six honor flights in the books, has it changed emotionally for you?
No.
Everyone's the same.
Each one is emotional.
It's like watching Brian's song. You watch it the second time and you know what's coming. And so it makes your emotions, I guess it's a sad, happy joy. I don't know. Yeah. So it's a source of pride.
Totally. Our Mandy went on Mission 6 with us, and she had an awesome group of veterans as her mm-hmm. people. And I think when you do honor flight, your patriotism just becomes way deeper.
Yeah. Because you hear the stories.
Yeah.
You hear what they went through. You hear the sacrifices. And I think, you know, and I have shared this before, you know, it's like Pete. I mean, when you go from Alton, Iowa, to maybe the biggest place you've ever been is Sioux City, mm-hmm. and you go end up in Fort Lewis, Washington, and then you end up over in Korea, and it's like that.
It
and
is.
I tell the story all the time. How in the world does a kid from Morris, Iowa, show up in the Philippines and not think your world has been tipped upside down, and yet nobody hardly says a thing about it?
No. And you're right. And we always have a banquet the night before we fly.
Yeah.
And that's just a good way for us to feel our veterans out. And often we've been told a veteran will tell their story to a stranger more than their family.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Mission 3 or Mission 4. A gentleman was telling me how he had to shoot the enemy. And then he tells me, and I had to use those bodies as a protection from me. I stacked those dead bodies up.
Yeah.
And I had to use them. And he said, and I had blood all over me. And as he's telling me this story, the tears are just going. But that's what we, as Honor Flight people, have the privilege of helping those stories come. This is a cute story. Pete is part of the ground crew now with Honor Flight. He goes to the bathroom and he comes back to me. He says, do you want to hear some war stories? Just go to the bathroom.
Oh, my.
And there's veterans in there.
Oh, my.
And they're all telling their war story in the bathroom to each other.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad that there's an opportunity for some closure. There's, as I told you, there's over 20-some veteran suicides a day now, and we know a whole lot more than we knew then, but I think about when those World War II guys came home,
yep.
Knew nothing about anything like that, and how they coped is beyond belief to me.
We have 640 on our waiting list.
Wow.
I encourage each and every veteran to really think hard on doing an application for Honor Flight in your area and become part of that brotherhood of that day. It's really important that we get these veterans to D.C. for their memorials.
Very cool. Well, Gretchen, thanks so much. I'm glad you're able to follow your passion patriotically, and even before you went on the honor flight, you had a thing for taking pictures of flags.
And
now you have an opportunity.
I know. Kids always say, Mom, how many pictures of flags can you take?
Yeah, exactly.
But you never know what the flag flies, and especially in D.C. at World War II. They have such a beautiful flag there. So
very cool. Well, thank you both for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Means a lot. Pete Vandepoppy, brother-in-law, sister Gretchen, and appreciate their stories very much. And this interview brought to you in part by Marilyn Strickland with Hoyne Realty, Bank Plus, Iowa Lakes Electric Cooperative, Emmett County Veterans Affairs, North Star Bank and Agency, your regional wellness center, Josh Newhouse Thrivent Financial, and Center Tire.